You have a weapon?
Yeah, a big one. How about you?
You sure you want to get cute with me? You have a backup weapon?
Never had the need.
Get one. Keep that in your suit unless I tell you to take it out. Get yourself a Glock. Lose that nickel-plated sissy pistol.
Enemy is approaching fast. Requesting orders. General, what should we do?
There's no response from command. Or from party leader Creedy. Or from the High Chancellor.
Why are you doing this?
Because he was right.
About what?
That this country needs more than a building right now. It needs hope.
Those who make peaceful revolution impossible will make violent revolution inevitable. Inevitable.
People should not be afraid of their governments. Governments should be afraid of their people.
Is it common sense to allow your activist judges to ignore your history, your culture, your Declaration of Independence, and every other founding document to remove God from public life? And endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights, their creator, not the ACLU, not the will of the atheists, or the anti-Americans that sit on the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals in San Francisco. Separation of church and state, yes. Separation of God from public life, never intended by your founding fathers. Is it common sense that the very political party who claims to be the party of the people and shouts, "We will bring change," consistently stops all common sense legislation to secure your borders, establish workplace verification, and stop taxpayer money for illegals? They call themselves progressive global thinkers. We had another word for them in 1776. We call them traitors. This happened all once before. 232 years ago, it led to revolution and thousands of dead in the streets. It will happen again unless you take back America now.
I hope we have once again reminded people that man is not free unless government is limited. There's a clear cause and effect here that is as neat and predictable as a law of physics. As government expands, liberty contracts.
From my cold, dead hands.
Only an aroused citizenry will turn this uncommon sense around. And he or she who does nothing now is helping them to destroy America. My name is Thomas Paine, and I approve of this message. I only hope to God you will too.
Colonized America, we will stand for tyranny. Oh, he. And it's too late to apologize. It's too late. I said it's too late to apologize. It's too late.
Now, war is coming between light and darkness. Will you bow down to the darkness?
Welcome to the Shooting Bench on Survival Circle Radio Network, keeping you informed on guns, news, politics, guns, survival, preparedness, and guns. The tyrant is holding our country hostage, and our freedom is at stake. It's time to take a stand and tell the tyrant, we will not comply. Join me now in the never-ending fight against tyranny, right here on the Shooting Bench.
All right, here we are. Welcome to the Shooting Bench. Tuesday, 17th of February. We've got, boy, a lot of stuff going on right now. I got a couple of calls today, or a call and a text message, about my suggestion last night that I might do away with the all gun-related version Thursday night and just kind of mix the gun stuff in all the time. And because of just trying to get a different format going here a little bit, but with the suggestions or the pleas maybe that I got, I'm not going to do that. We're going to keep going with Thursday night the way it is. However, we may stick in a news related item that is not gun related from time to time. But we're going to keep doing the gun thing on Thursdays. I'm going to try to stick a little gun stuff in here and there on the other nights, too, without getting too technical and too carried away, because I don't want to scare my girls away. I know we got a couple of them there that hang with us through thick and thin, but we kind of alienate some of them a little bit because of the content of the show. So we're going to kind of keep the technical stuff down a little bit and still be able to put a little bit of it in there. Chuck put in, I'll have some better pictures for you tomorrow, but what was that? Okay, there it goes. The patches, the decals that we put in there, are going to be, we're not sure exactly on the price of those yet, but we've got a pretty good idea, and we'll have all that listed up for you. They'll be on the online store and everything going along with everything else there with the classes and things, and I'm not sure exactly what the procedure is going to be or all that yet, but we'll have all that news for you here in a couple of days once we get it all ironed out. But the decals look good. They look real sharp. They're modeled after, of course, after our logo there. Only difference is they've got the URL up there right in the center where that big black stripe is. That stripe was widened just a little bit, and we put the URL in there. And so it doesn't do much good to have the patch up there if you have to explain to everybody every time they see it what it's about. So if they put the URL on there, then that'll help them be able to go to it. And I'm stuttering so much here because I keep having all kinds of troubles going on here with scripts and all that stuff. So if you hear a loud noise and then the sound goes away, it's going to be because I shot this laptop, and it may be a few days before I get back on again. So, anyway. All right, let's see here. Speaking of... hey, that's good, C7, about the color in one of your weapons there. I was real serious last night when I say that is critical if it's something that you're going to be carrying out there, or something that you may even think that you may be out just foraging for food or something and wind up getting in a little bit of a sticky wicket and have to hide a little bit. You don't want to have to hide with that black shotgun or 10/22 or whatever it is you have out there. So I think it's a good idea to camouflage some of those. Mountain shooter, I do. I mean, if you asking me, I'm not a real big fan of muzzle brakes. It's okay in the first place. I'm not recoil sensitive, so it doesn't really help a whole lot. It helps if I was going in some kind of competition where I really needed to hold that muzzle down, or if I was using a 416 Rigby somewhere or something like that, then I might go for it. But other than that, I'm not a real big fan of them, particularly because of the noise. The muzzle brakes, typically, most of them that I've been around, are a whole lot louder than without the muzzle brake. So, you know, you can take that for what it's worth. Do they help keep the muzzle down? Of course they do. Some better than others, but your 338, you know, maybe that's maybe that would be a good thing for you. But I'm not a real big fan of them anyway. You know, I may be, and I told you guys this for the last, you know, for several months now. I am pondering on possibly getting an AR, as much as I still despise them. Nothing has changed in that regard. But given where I live, and given the times that I live in, I'm thinking that that may be a decent compromise. The AK doesn't have the accuracy that I need to shoot crows and prairie dogs and coyotes at extended distances. You know, once you get out past about 250 yards, then it's starting to get pretty iffy. For coyotes and prairie dogs, even closer than that, unless you want to put a scope on it, which I don't. And I could get a bolt action gun, but if we were to, you know, poop hit the fan, God forbid, and I need something a little more firepower to help me get to my other guns or to cover or whatever, then the bolt action may not be the best thing. Now, I thought about that long and hard many times. And I have to wonder, until it gets to a point where we have, you know, thousands of refugees coming out of Maricopa County, or, you know, wherever you're at, large metropolitan areas, and until you have a whole bunch of people, I don't know that a bolt action wouldn't be plenty of gun for most instances. But in that off chance that I was outnumbered dramatically, I might want to have something with magazine fed that shot a little faster. And I'm going to tell you, unless I'm not going to get a piston gun, because I'm not going to put that much money into it. So I will need to definitely keep it clean, keep it lubed properly, and it will probably run fine for me. But one thing that I've said this, I don't know how many times on the show, one thing I'll never take away from the AR is the remarkable accuracy of it. There are not a whole lot of semi-automatic rifles out there that are as accurate as the 223. The cotton picking AR-15. There's a couple out there that's pretty good, but that AR-15 is, I know they shoot well, and I've always said that. I've seen many of them. Many of them shoot inside of a half an inch at 100 yards. And that's the kind of accuracy I'm looking for. For, you know, coyotes and stuff on out there a little ways. So, thinking about it, definitely haven't put it on the top of my list by any remote stretch of the imagination, but I am thinking about it. I doubt if I'll go with Daniel Defense. They're probably a little more money than I want to put into them right now. I'm putting this in mostly for a varmint gun. And just in the off chance that I happen to get into a poop hit the fan situation, then I may go with the, may want to have the semi-automatic capability. Let's see. Let me look and see what's going on. And BB Burner, you know, that's always a point. There'll always be someone to give that to. There'll always be somebody that needs it. That'll be my gun to give a compatriot that might be needing something, and I wouldn't feel bad at all about giving it away. But I wish this damn thing would quit this. It keeps taking my chat away from me, and that's why I keep stuttering here, trying to read something and look at the chat room and everything else, and it's cotton picking. You know, I may just close this window here, and maybe that would help. Let me just get rid of this thing, RAT, right now. Let's see if that helps any. But let's see if I can get back. Dadgummit, I can't do a thing starting to get on my nervous condition that I didn't even have before I sat down here tonight. Now I'm starting to get one. Okay, I'm going to close that one. See if that stops that. All right, let's get back over here and try this again. Come on. Okay, there we go. Goodness. All right. Let's look here. Yeah, Mountain Shooter, of course I used one in basic. That didn't mean I had to like it, though. Matter of fact, that's one of the biggest reasons I didn't stay in the Army, because they wouldn't get me anything but an AR. No, I'm just kidding. But that may have something to do with it. Let's see. Our chat room's getting away from me here, so let's see. B2 Basic, I'm working on another computer here. She told me not to shoot my laptop, but I'm working on another computer to see if I can get one of my desktops going here. Yeah, C7, no. No, that's when I get up there, we're doing some horse trading for that 22 Magnum. So, no, I think not. Let's see. B2 Basic says she wanted to go hunting with Tampico Scout and want to use a gun that didn't blow my eardrums out or kill me packing it. Accurate, big enough to take down an elk. Okay. Lots of good choices there. Now I'm going to tell you what, let's address first things first. The gun won't blow your eardrums out if you put in some hearing protection. There's nothing big, bad, brave, and tough about not wearing hearing protection. I did it for a lot of years. I regret it. Good God, do I regret it now. I would give anything to go back even 20 years, even more to go back 40 years, and know what I know now about hearing loss and hearing damage and what all causes it. There are many, many things that I would have done differently, and one of them was going out shooting the bigger guns. Now, you can get away with shooting, you know, the one shot or two shots that you might use while you're hunting. But why bother? You can, there's, often when you're hunting, it's not too often that a elk jumps up right under your feet and yet you have to blast it and you don't have any time to do anything. Once in a while that happens, and if it does, it does. But usually you see one across the canyon and say, okay, I'm going to ease over this way. I'm going to take this trail down over there. I'm going to get where I can shoot right down on him. And I'll be over there in about 20, 30 minutes, and we'll take him. So if you're going to do that, then for crying out loud, you got time to put hearing protection in. Excuse me. There's also a couple of different things. Hearing protection, you could either put in a use electronic hearing protection. The only thing about that is they're usually a little bit bigger. You may not want to tote those on a hunt. The earplugs that I have in my pocket right now, or as I'm sitting here spreckening to you as we are talking, they're made by Peltor. We've talked about them on the show before. Those are something that you can carry all the time. You can put the yellow end in your ear and have decent protection and still be able to hear pretty well. And that's a great hunting proposition right there. So think about those. Now, what would I suggest as far as calibers? Well, right now, you know, if you think about where we're at in history and what all is going on, to me, it's pretty much hands down 308. A 308 will kill any elk on the planet. You may have to get a tad closer, where you might can do it at 400 yards with a 30-06. You might want to get within three or so with a 308. If you're talking about cows, you know, however far out you can reliably make your shot, you'll probably be okay. If you're talking about a big, tough bull, you might want to get a little closer. I'm not a big fan of all these guys who get all these big, monstrous calibers to make up for poor hunting skills. There's been Jack O'Connor claimed that the 270 was the best all-round rifle in the world, said it was the best elk gun ever made. So a 308 will sure enough do a fine job. I have seen lots and lots of elk taken with 30-30s and 243s. I don't agree with either of those. I would agree with the 30-30 more than the 243. But will they do it? Of course they will. A 22 will do it if you put the bullet in the right place. So get your hunting skills up, and 308 will do fine. Now, the reason I say a 308 is because it's a 308, because it's a NATO caliber, because poop is fixing to hit the fan. Why buy a 270? Why buy a 338 and then have to disable or to destroy it or try to hide it somewhere and come back to it after things get back to normal? Get something that you can use. Why waste money on a gun that you're not going to be using when the poop hits the fan? Get something that there'll always be ammo available for. The next choice up, I would say, would be a 30-06. Although 30-06 ammo is not nearly as available now as it was just 4 or 5 years ago. Now, I've got myself, I have three 308s. And I think that anything in North America with the, I would not probably want to go out and attack a grizzly bear with it, although if I were in a hunting environment and I were making all the choices, it would do okay as long as I, you know, place that shot carefully and use the right kind of bullet. It would not, I say again, it would not be my first choice for the big bears. For black bears, it's more than enough. Doing fine. I would look at a Remington 700 or a Howa 1500. Those are my two top choices for the Savage Model 10 or the any of the 116s or I mean 16s and 10s, anything like that. 110, I mean, would be fine. Not too excited about the newer Winchesters. If you can find some older ones, they're good guns. What else? That's probably now. I don't know if you hunt on horseback, if you get out there a little closer to them. If you do, there may be some lever actions out there that would suit your needs. But I would look at a 308 first and see. Let's see. Damn it! Stop. Jeez. All right. I lost my chat room. Let me squeeze on down here a little bit. And see what all, you know, the guys, if you're fans of the 7mm Magnum. Now, let me tell you something about the 7mm Magnum. There is absolutely nothing, not one single thing that the 7mm Magnum can do that the 30-06 can't do just as well. The only thing the 7mm Magnum can do is shoot 7mm bullets. That's the only thing it can do that 30-06 can't. So you look at the ballistics and get out there to out to 500 yards, the 7 mag starts taking a little bit of an edge, but it is so minuscule that it is not worth discussing. It is a solution to a non-existent problem. Is it a good gun? Absolutely. It's great caliber. Is it necessary? Hell no. That belted Magnum, look at your 162 grain bullets for the 7mm Magnum. Look at the 165s or 160s for the 165 for the 30-06. You can load those up real easy to better than 2,900 feet a second, and you're all over that 7mm Magnum. So why would you want to have something that you're never going to have ammo for? Get something that you'll be able to use in the future. 300 Win Mag, yeah, it's a tad better than the OT-6. If you line them up in the velocity and energy, the 30-06 is exactly to the 300 Win Mag what the 308 is to the 30-06. The 30-06 is exactly halfway in between the 308 and the 300 Win Mag. 300 Win Mag, quite obviously, more gun, more power, more velocity. It's a good gun, and it's a great elk gun. But what are you going to do when the poop hits the fan? You're going to retire your gun. You'll shoot up whatever reloads and whatever you can find around the house. You are not going to go out. Well, you might. I'm sure not, because I don't have the money for it. But you're not going to go out and buy 300 Win Mags or 7mm Magnums by the thousand. You're going to buy a box or two at a time. You're going to reload some, and you're going to have these big, huge, heavy cartridges to carry around. And I'm just looking at the... I am so eat up with this, with our sketchy future right now, that I'm not going to recommend the same things that I did before. When it was strictly I want to go elk hunting, what should I get? Well, yeah, 300 Win Mag, great caliber, yeah, whatever. But right now, I am consumed with our future, with our new normal that we're fixing to acquire here. C7, the 300 Win Mag, is substantially better than the 7mm Magnum. Not a little bit, substantially. Quite a good bit difference. If Tampico uses a 270, then I rest my case. That answers your question right there. The 270 is great for deer or elk, either one. Let's see here. The 6.5 C7 is about the same as the 270. 223 is, well, technically they're not exactly identical to the 5.56, but they're close. Looks like Tampico Scout's already got a 7mm. And that's another thing. If you've already got something, I sure am not going to tell you to get rid of it for this. But if you're just purchasing right now, then look at your future as you purchase. The shots out to, I've taken elk out past 400 with a 30-06. 7 mag will do it just as well. Like I said, there's not any difference in them. The most in the gun, if you can hit your elk out there, the most in the gun is just a tad less powerful than the 30-06. It will definitely do the job. Not a thing in the world wrong with it. Most of the ones, unless they're shot out or corroded, they're pretty cotton picking accurate. They're not hard to adapt a scope to, and if you like that gun, by all means, it would work fine. I done scared Pumpkin Cat off and then run her off with all the gun stuff here, but anyway. All right. Rights at Risk. Going Rights at Risk, I hope everything goes well for you there. We're glad to have you in here with us, so be sure and give us a holler if there's anything at all we can do for you. All right, let's move on. Hey, just right quick, we're starting to see things here that probably hadn't thought about a whole lot here recently. But ISIS today, this morning or last night, when it was, is now threatening to burn alive a cage full of children, the same size cage, same cage that they had for that that other guy, that Jordanian that they burned, but they had it packed full of kids, little kids. It looked like they're, you know, third graders or whatever, or smaller. This is the absolute, as far as I'm concerned, I can't imagine how they could do anything worse. It is, and this administration just won't seem to acknowledge that. They just won't. God. There's a lot of people that are acknowledging it. I mean, citizens, like right here, there's a fire destroys Jersey City Mosque. Fire destroys mosque in Tennessee. Arson eyed in Houston area mosque fire. I mean, they're burning them down as fast as they can build them. So, you know, I think that's fine. I love a happy ending to a story. So that's what we got going on with. It seems like our dear leader just will not, cannot say the word Christian. He just avoids it like the plague. And Palm Bay, you know, I agree with you. Pray for God's vengeance on them. I'm okay with that, because I figure God's going to use us at some point to exact that vengeance. So we'll just wait until we get the word, and we'll go ahead with that. So, okay. And the Houston deal, Minnie, I was just reading that story, and it said that, according to the investigator here, they said that they have a dog there that can detect accelerants, which he did, and they said it was definitely not an accident. So, I don't know. It's, or maybe that wasn't, let's see, some of that investigators told him that an accelerant like gasoline was present inside of the fire. An accelerant could indicate that the fire was deliberately set. So, I don't care if it was an accident or not. As long as it burns down, I don't care. It's all right. I don't know. I can get so wound up on this. It just ruins the whole show because I get where I can't talk anymore. I can't read because I'm seeing red so much that I can't talk right. So I'm going to take a break here and see if I can get my thoughts together. Tampico Scout, stand by. When we get done with this break, we'll what I ought to do is go back over here and find that song that Amy don't like, and she'll probably run over here from the house if she's listening and punch me, but we're going to play it anyway.
River, bathing my memoried mind in the wetness of its soul, feeling the amber current flow from my mind, and warm my empty heart she left so cold. Whiskey River, take my me.
drowning in a whiskey river. Bathing my memoried mind in the wetness of its soul. Feeling the amber current flow around my mind. And warm my empty heart, she left so cold. Whiskey River, take my
Liberty Lounge, brought to you every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific Time. Listen to classic country music in the Liberty Lounge to help you end your week on a pleasant note. We'll have sad songs.
I go out walking after midnight.
Happy songs.
I'm the happiest girl in the whole USA.
Patriotic songs. Songs of tragedy.
Two little boys and an old family dog. By the banks of a stream sat one day.
Love songs.
Welcome to my world.
And good old honky-tonk music.
I'm a honky-tonk man, and I can't seem to stop.
So join me every Friday night and just let your hair down for a couple of hours here on Liberty Lounge. That's what I like to see, bullseyes, every time. And you can do the same thing with Byers Barrels. As long as you do your part, the custom barrels that you get from Byers Barrels will deliver award-winning accuracy shot after shot. Byers Barrels specializes in standard and 1-in-9-inch twist match-grade 22 long rifle barrels for the Ruger 10/22 and AR-15. If you want to win, visit their site at ByersBarrels.com. That's BeyerBarrels.com. Or you can call Clint at 360-374-9476 and tell him you heard it on the Shooting Bench, would you? Let him know that his advertising money is doing him some good.
Okay, are you ready? Here's Colt Reynolds with another maximum dose of truth and common sense on the Shooting Bench.
They say heaven's at the end, but so far it's been hell, and there's fire on the mountain, lightning in the air, holding them hills that is waiting for me there.
All right, let's get back in here and finish this up. We've got, for those of you that may be looking to enhance your medical skills or to attain any medical skills, if you're lacking a medic, you're lacking some medical personnel in your group, in your family, and you need to rectify that situation, then you need to be in Vernon, Arizona, on the 27th and 28th of this month. That is weekend after this coming weekend, last weekend of the month, and get in on the battlefield medic class, battlefield / wilderness medic class. This is a class, I think, like no other. And those that come away with this, providing you take good notes and pay attention, will come away with skills that a whole lot of soldiers and a whole lot of other people don't have. This will be, this is not a first aid class. It's not a EMT class. It is learning to provide care in the most hostile environments and when there is just not other things available that you need, how to put together a kit to carry with you, a kit to have in your car, in your home, your backpack, your saddlebags, your camper, whatever, so that when something like this happens and help is not immediately available, then you can stabilize that that person and hold out until help arrives or until you're able to get somewhere where you can do it. Edge of the Woods continues to improve this class. Every time I have taken it, which is I think 4 times now, there's new stuff. So if you may have taken it once before, it wouldn't hurt you to do it again. You're going to learn new stuff. So that'll be coming up here in last weekend of the month, right here in Vernon. It's on our website or online store. Just go to theshootingbench.us and go to the online store and click on the battlefield. I think it just says medic on there. Click on that. When it comes time to check out, put in the code Victor Charlie Mike 15. I believe it is. It's on the deal there, and on the page when you go to put the checkout. Dang it! Put that code in, and you get a tremendous discount on that. Edge of the Woods saying I've taken it 6 times. Have I taken it 6 times? How many have we done here in Vernon? 2 or 3? I know we've done 2 here. Took it over by Kingman once. Took it in Pine Top once. I don't remember when. But anyway, I do it every single time I get the opportunity. Okay, enough of that. A counter-strike class coming up on the 14th. Another concealed carry class coming up on the 12th. This is March now. Metallic cartridge reloading class on the 20th. Of March, and we'll look at the rest of this stuff as time goes on here. We're looking at trying awfully hard to be up in New Mexico here soon, which precludes us doing a class over here during that weekend. So I'll keep you up to date on what's going on there. Okay, let me get back over here to where we were. Okay, wrong one. There we go. There's tomorrow night, we're going to spend a lot of time talking about 1 second after. You guys have had time to read the book. If you haven't, you better finish it up by tomorrow because I'm going to ruin it for you. We're going to talk about the whole thing and all of how that could apply now. And I was looking at some of the stories, the things that have happened over, you know, period of time over the last few years when communities have come together, have been forced to come together because of emergencies of one nature or another. When I was down in Atlanta when that blizzard came through there in 93, that was a pretty good indication where people were helping people quite a bit. But I'll tell you, when I was 11 years old, 1967, we had one hell of a storm in the Four Corners area from Flagstaff up to up into Flagstaff, Arizona, up into Utah, the southwest corner of Colorado, northwest corner of New Mexico. There was 7 feet of snow out there on the reservation in quite a few places. 4 feet was the norm, you know, in lots of places out there. This all came about. It snowed and it snowed and it snowed and it kept snowing. And right around Flagstaff, a total of 86 inches fell in in the month of December 1967. That, as you might guess, stranded oodles and gobs of Indians out there. Edge of the Woods said they lost some cattle, lost 140 head of cattle. Lots of cattle. There were literally millions of millions of head of livestock out there, sheep, goats, horses, cows, that died because some of them froze to death, but a large number of them starved to death because there was just no way to get food to them. So this, I can remember very well the helicopter missions and everything. Once it stopped snowing, they were able to do it. Then they got helicopters come from, Wyoming National Guard and several places around the area there. People donating snowmobiles, not donating, but, volunteering the use of their snowmobiles. And the government taking snowmobiles out there. And they airdropped hay and food and firewood and all kinds of stuff into these, I don't know how many thousand Indians were stranded out there. So as time went on, after this went on for a few days, there were people that donated sheep and whatever to other families to help them to survive. There was something like 60,000 Indians out there that were stranded. They were without food for almost 2 weeks altogether, and all of their livelihood threatened because a lot of them lived off the sheep and the goats and stuff like that. They got their not only food and milk and wool from these animals, but they sold lots of them. They raised them to market. And anyway, some of the people that didn't have it quite so bad wound up donating animals, lots of them, to other people in their community so that they could live. They just weren't getting the things that they need. So the moral of the story is here, and what we're going to talk about tomorrow a lot, is helping to prepare your communities to try to figure out what you can do and work about getting organized, getting people together. You're going to have to set, first thing you're going to have to do, that's right, Edge of the Woods, I forgot. I did take it twice in Kingman. I forgot about that. You're right. And once with Iowa Cat's husband and Casper Mountain. That was a lot of fun. So anyway, the thing that's going to be the hardest to do is to get your neighbors together and say, look, we're out of time. We're done. We have to figure out what we're going to do. We need to figure it out now. And we need to see if we can get together, figure out what we're going to do for defense, what we're going to do for this, that, and the other. So we're going to spend a large portion of tomorrow night talking about that. B2 Basic, what do you mean you was disappointed in? Are you nuts? We got to find out what happened there. That's an awesome book. Edge of the Woods, I don't know. I think I've got his email address. I know I have his phone number, so if you need to send him those updates, let me know, and I'll help you get a hold of him. There's a group up in Utah. It's in Utah, but it's a Facebook page called Patriots of America. And they have started, they're trying to, not a large-scale thing, but they're trying to get some donations up, and they're donating it to I'll have to look and find it here again. They're donating some of it to, I know the guy that runs it, so you're not going to get hornswoggled over it. But they're donating it to a veterans group up there, and also looking to get a little bit of money for their for their organization. They are a patriot organization, and they're trying to get prepared just like the rest of us are. So they've got some good deals going on, and one of them right now they're going to do these, you know, consistently, time to time, they're going to keep doing them. And they've got a DeWalt 12-volt cordless drill, and all the accessories go with it. $5 a shot, and right now you put $5 in it, you get 3 tries. I don't know how they're making any money on this thing, but shoot, you know, why not? Who in the world couldn't use another cordless drill? I've got 2, probably 3 of them, and I intend to buy a couple of chances at that thing and see if I can grab. I wouldn't mind having an extra one to put away just because I use them for everything. I don't even know if I remember how to use a regular screwdriver, to tell you the truth. I'll figure out some way to use a power screwdriver if I possibly can. So I guess you guys may have seen the deal down in, let's see, where was it? Let me go find it here right quick. Where the guy, 72-year-old guy, was traveling. He's in New Jersey, I believe. I'll have to go look for it. He's in New Jersey. He had a 300-year-old pistol in his glove box. 300 years old. That's as old as the 1911. And, well, maybe even a little bit more. But anyway, this guy, he's a retired school teacher, now faces 10 years in prison, which might as well be life for a 72-year-old if he has to spend the whole 10 years there. This was an old flintlock type single shot muzzle loading type pistol that I guess it's probably an assault flintlock is what I'm gathering here. It's either a flintlock or just a regular muzzle loader. I'm not sure what the ignition system was on. Yeah, it's a flintlock, yeah. So, you know, I'm sure that the drive-by flintlock shootings will be dramatically reduced. I'm sure that the mass mall shootings that are perpetrated by flintlock bearers will go down, and the people in New Jersey can rest easy that this 72-year-old man who was driving down the road minding his own frickin' business with a single-shot 300-frickin'-year-old pistol in his frickin' glove box, and if he spends that 10 years in jail, he's probably going to die there. You know, we're making a lot of headway. There's a lot of good news in the Second Amendment world right now. A lot of good news. In carry laws and a lot of law intrusive laws that are being gotten rid of and stuff like that. So, but then something like this comes up. It's crazy. C7. When I'm talking about Indians, I'm talking about feather, not dot. Okay, that's just so everybody knows. The Tampico Scout, I'm going to have to go back up here. I forgot about your question. What was, oh, you asked what I was used for 700 yards. Well, it depends. I don't typically hunt at 700 yards. If I do, well, I wouldn't. I just don't. But to shoot at 300 yards or 700 yards, I use my 308. 308 had the record for quite a while at extended distances. Said 308 will do fine at 700 yards, do just fine. If you got a decent barrel on it and a good load that it likes, your 308 will do just fine. You have a 270, it will do just fine. You have a 7 mag, it will do just fine. I know a guy over here in Taylor, Snowflake, that shoots consistently, perfectly well, predictably, all the time, shoots out to over 1,200 yards with a 243 and puts the bullet exactly where he wants it. I shot his He's got a 338 Edge. I shot it out there one afternoon with them, and they got all the dope for me and told me what to do. And I was 900 and I believe it was 964 yards with his gun, and I shot put three shots in about 2 3/4 inches at 964 yards. Awesome gun. It was a good gun. BB Burner, you know, I don't want to walk 700 yards either. That's why I don't shoot that far away. There's just too many things that can go wrong. I know that there are people that do it. I think it's not a good thing to hunt. Now, I may shoot prairie dogs and stuff that way. I'm not going to shoot at deer. I'm not going to shoot at elk. I'm not going to shoot at bear unless I am starving to death. And just if I can just get blood one way or another, then I might do that. But it's highly unlikely. If my hunting skills won't get me within 700 yards, I need to stay home and just order from Sonic. Okay. That's the way I see it. But to answer your question, what to shoot that far, almost anything outside of your rimfires will travel 700 yards. If you're target shooting or shooting at varmints and pests and stuff, pretty much anything you want to use. You just need to figure out what your ballistics are on it. Now, the thing is, some of your slower guns, if you want to use a 22 Hornet or a 30-30 or whatever, you're going to have to definitely have a whole lot more scope than what your gun is worth, because you're going to need a lot of elevation for something that slow. The faster it is, the more forgiving the average scope will be. But you're going to need to have quite a bit of elevation, more elevation than most scopes are capable of. Once you get much past 700 or so, out to 1,000, you'll need some different types of equipment there. Well, Doc, that's one way to put it, I reckon. But, I'll have to say, though, I do know, like this guy over in Snowflake, he is a surgeon. He's a scientist. He is a cabinet builder. What a cabinet builder is to a carpenter is what he is to the average shooter out there. He shoots often. He shoots regularly. He rarely shoots under 1,000 yards. And his son is just like him, and his best friend is just like him. They have some high-dollar equipment. They know how to use it. They've got all the latest and greatest stuff, and they get out there and goof around and shoot 1,200 and 1,500 yards on any given decent weekend that he's not working or doing other things that would prevent that. So it can be done. What I have a problem with are the people that think they can do it and go out there and wound a bunch of animals and stuff. That ticks me off. The mountain shooter, does he shoot a 30-06? Well, he's got one, but that's not... Most of his long-range stuff is done with a 338 Edge. But yeah, he has a 30-06, if that's who you're talking about there. Okay, well, we've managed to muddle through this enough. We've just about got to the end of our hour. Still got lots of things to cover. Thursday night... You know what? I'm not even going to save this for Thursday night. I'm going to tell you right now. And Doc, I want you to back away from the computer, hit the mute button, and don't look at the chat, okay? Give Doc just a minute to get his computer turned off, or get his sound turned down. All right, that should have given him plenty of time. There is a kind of a... special group in the Marine Corps, the United States Marine Corps, thank you, that is adopting the Glock 19. If they do it and are successful and everything goes well, I have no doubt that it will be moving on to bigger and better things here. But as effective immediately, the Glock 19 is being issued to a special unit here, to the what do they call them, the MARSOC, I think it is. MARSOC. This comes just 2.5 years after the Marine Corps announced the adoption of their Colt 1911 railgun as a future sidearm. And people are starting to wonder now if that was a mistake, and the limited adoption of the Glock 19 is a step in the right direction. From the Marine Corps Times, in a Marine Corps first, the service recently added a Glock pistol to its list of authorized individual weapons, optics, and modular attachments. However, the 9mm semi-automatic Glock pistol is officially approved for use only by personnel assigned to Marine Corps Forces Special Operations Command, according to a force-wide message issued in mid-February. In fact, the pistol will carry a non-Marine inventory number because it is a U.S. Special Operations Command asset, according to the message. It's not immediately clear if MARSOC has used the pistols unofficially before now, but they are popular throughout the special operations community. More broadly, they are a standard issue for armies on several continents, a staple among international and domestic law enforcement, including the FBI and many local police departments. Also seen in the hands of several Al-Qaeda fighters. Well, at least they know one good thing about it. So anyway, they're not sure about which generation they're going to use yet and everything, but I thought that was an interesting little tidbit of information there. All right, let me get over here to the chat room real quick and see if Doc cheated and turned his sound up here. If he did, well, people in Mississippi are probably going to be hearing about it here before long. Let's see here. Let me go down here and check all of my chat room down to the end and make sure I'm not missing any questions or anything that I'm supposed to catch up on. And then we're just going to ease on out of here. Actually, I think what I'll do is I'll need to load up a few of the podcasts tonight. I'm starting to get a little bit behind, and there are some people out there that don't want to be behind. The... Doc said the sound's up and paying close attention now. The BB burner, buddy, you need to be nice. Now, I'm going to be down there and visit you on the here in a couple of weeks, so you need to be nice. Let's see here. All right, my chat room's not working. Something I'm going to have to get in here and do some serious tuning up on my computer and figure out what the heck's going on. All right, there we go. All right, well, that's enough. Things are not working for me, so I'm going to have to call it quits. I will see you guys tomorrow. Amy will not be in tomorrow, but I will be here at the regular time. Don't forget, we're going to spend a lot of time talking about organizing communities, about things that could be coming up here in the not-too-distant future, and we're going to spend a considerable amount of time on the book One Second After. You've got from now until tomorrow evening to finish reading it. Good night.
Thanks for joining us for another edition of The Shooting Bench. Please join Cope Monday through Friday for the most politically incorrect firearms information show on talk radio.
Lead, follow, or get the hell out of the way. Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for you to decide who you are. Somebody should call them. Somebody should write a letter. Somebody should try and stop that. Somebody should do something. I challenge you to look in the mirror and tell me what you see. If there's somebody there, that would be you. It's time for you to do something. There is no doubt that the Constitution is hanging by a thread. It's not going to wait for us much longer.